Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation here this evening. You can give us a call tonight. Our telephone lines are open. The phone number is toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We can get you on the program here this evening. We've also got a special guest in the studio I'll be introducing in just a moment. And a reminder, too, that you can follow us online, either our website, livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, or you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/livewithpastoral, that's Live with Pastor Al, and you can follow us there. And if you're on Facebook, you can watch us live on Facebook. Got a couple people there right now. Good evening. And you can follow us on Facebook there and watch us live on Facebook. And I'm joined in the studio tonight with Jim Savale, and I'm going to talk to him in just a moment, but let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We thank you for giving us this opportunity. We pray that we could use it for your glory. Help us to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, and we just pray we'd be an encouragement to believers, and help us, Lord, to point somebody to Christ. Perhaps there's somebody that's searching, somebody that does not know Christ as their Savior. Help us, Lord, to be able to point them to you, and that through your Spirit you'd help them to understand the gospel message, and that they might come to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless, we pray, use the program for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're glad to have you with us tonight. Got a few people calling in right away, so we're going to have a busy phone night, I think, tonight, hopefully. And we're going to get to them in just a moment here. But first off, I want to introduce, we have with us Jim Savale. And Jim Savale is from the Samoan Islands by way of New Jersey. And that's a story. We're going to cover that a little bit tonight. We'll also get your callers in here this evening as well, your phone calls in this evening, and we'll intersperse with a few things there. But Jim, welcome to the program tonight.
Thank you so much, Brother Al. It's a joy to be with you, and it's a privilege to be on the program with you tonight.
Well, thank you. And we've known each other for a few years. I was sharing with our church today, Jim Savale is a missionary in the Samoan Islands. My wife and I were in the Samoan Islands, and that's where we met. We started a church down there, and we had a common friend. We had a mechanic, and we were joking at church today saying, in Samoa, when you found a mechanic that was knew what he was talking about, you know, it wasn't somebody who just walked by a garage and saw a box of tools and said, I'm a mechanic. Somebody who actually knew what they were doing. And we had a mechanic friend in common, and he was a very good mechanic. And we met, and then I think we ran into each other a couple of times. Then we had a conversation at the airport while you were waiting for your brother to come in. Yes. And I was waiting for another missionary who was coming down to visit us. And care to relate how that went?
Well, it was very interesting that I met you that night at the airport, Brother Al. As you know, at that time I was Roman Catholic, and I was very devout and strong in my former faith. And someone had challenged me to defend my faith, and I was trying to convince that person to remain in the church. And so he challenged me to get into the Word of God and to refute some of the things he was saying. So when I met you and I knew you were another minister, I thought I'd get some ammunition from you to convince my brother to stay in my former faith. And instead, the Lord used that encounter to provoke some more questions on my part. And the story certainly went on from there.
And it was kind of humorous because we were talking at church tonight, and I was telling people that one of the things you decided to challenge me on was evolution and creation. And you didn't know at the time that I actually had a biology degree.
No, I sure did.
I didn't volunteer the information. It was one of my favorite subjects. But the Lord used that, and I was able to give you a gospel track, and
yes,
God
sir.
Worked in your heart. And just, it was the next day you got saved, right?
No, sir. It would be 6 months later that I got
right.
saved.
Sometimes
it, sure
it takes
wasn't
prayer.
It
takes prayer, doesn't
yes,
it?
Sir.
And
yes,
we
sir.
Had people praying for you.
Yes, sir. And that meeting, you really launched a six-month intense search of the scriptures. It ended with me getting saved and the next Sunday coming into your church. And as I came in there and you preached a real good message, and you probably remember that I said to you right afterwards, I said, excellent homily, Father. Thank you very much. And so I had some Bible language to learn, and I also just had some language that we use in evangelical circles that was
yeah.
very new to me at the time.
Well, and it's been exciting to watch you grow and learn about the Lord and how God has used you. And if I might use the saying the opposite in order to emphasize the point technique again, your wife was really thrilled when you got saved, wasn't she?
Yes, exactly. It would be another 6 months before she would get saved. Of course, it was a big challenge for her because she was the niece of the only Samoan cardinal there has
right.
ever been. He's since deceased, but it was a very challenging 6 months. And of course, in the beginning, I tried to argue my wife's way into heaven because I thought I knew so much. But the Holy Spirit impressed upon me to just back off and let him do the work. And with you and your wife, Kim, coming to visit her and a lot of those things, well, over time, the Holy Spirit spoke there and she got saved, and praise the Lord for that.
Well, and God has been working in your family and your wife's family, and we're going to get to our callers here in just a minute, so I appreciate people calling in, and just want to mention a couple of things here before we get to the callers. After you began studying the Bible and your wife was saved and you were involved in the church, God led my wife and I back to the States. Another missionary was overseeing the work during that time, and you continued to grow and learn and come to a greater knowledge of the Bible. And the next thing you know, I find out that you're going over to the independent country of Samoa.
Yes, sir. Well, you started that church plant, and then the other brother you mentioned, Brother John Yingling, continued it. You, of course, are discipling me and teaching me many things in the scriptures, and then Brother John continued that and would be training me to actually preach. When he left, we restarted that church in our living room, and that would be our first church plant. Actually, when I continued the church, I was praying every single day for 7 years for the Lord to send another full-time missionary, because at that time I was not only pastoring that church, I was also working full-time in school administration. I kept praying for the Lord to send a full-time missionary, and it would be 7 years later that the Holy Spirit impressed upon me that that one I had been praying for was actually me, and the Lord had been preparing me for that. So I came up for a deputation. The Lord provided full support in 15 months, which is unusual, but the Lord was in it. And we went back and we were able to turn over that first church work a few years later. And that's when the Lord led us from American Samoa to start this second church plant over in the independent country of Samoa. We've been there since 2010. And in February, in this coming February, we will be ordaining a national man who will continue that work. And the Lord has opened a door for a third church plant and possibly even a fourth simultaneously. Through that second church plant, we have a school ministry that my wife oversees with over 100 students. We have a radio station, translation and publication ministry, and of course the Bible College for the training of national men. And as I was saying earlier in your church there, Brother Al, just think, if you hadn't surrendered to go in the beginning, with this whole chain of events that has resulted in many coming to know the Lord, being baptized and added and growing. And I just don't know if it would have happened or not. God knows that. But I thank God for you surrendering to go.
Well, and as I had mentioned at church today, my wife and I were not planning on going to the Samoan Islands. we were actually on our way to New Zealand, and about 30 days before we left, the Lord changed our plans dramatically, and the same thing happened with the Yinglings. He was going to join us in New Zealand at one point, or head there, and God changed his direction dramatically and brought him to the Samoan Islands. And we've often thought in retrospect, the best thing going for us is that we didn't know where we were going. But we trusted God.
Amen.
And I can remember at one point distinctly, and God works in your lives if you're willing to trust him.
Yes.
I remember at one point distinctly thinking, Lord, should we really be here? You know, there were some things, difficulties that were going on. And I said, Lord, you know, should I stay? And I got a call from a missionary in New Zealand saying, brother, I can get you into New Zealand now. And I can help you get in here and get you sponsored in and all this if you want to come still. And I said, Lord, here I am in the Samoan Islands. What should I do? And it was just, I mean, I didn't get an audible voice. I didn't hear a voice in my head. But it was just a distinct impression. You can go to New Zealand, I'll bless your ministry. Or you can stay here. It's going to be a lot harder, but the results will be better in the long run.
Amen.
And so I kind of took a deep breath and said, Lord, if you want me to stay, I'll stay. Yeah, I want to be where you want me to be the most. And it was like the Lord was saying, you know, you can go. I'll bless you if you go, but it'll be better if you stay. And we're going to get into some of those things here in a few minutes. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and I have my guest Jim Savali, missionary in the Samoan Islands, with us tonight. And we've got some callers calling in already here this evening. The phone number is 888-677-9673. And we've got two callers called in a similar time. We'll go ladies first. And we have Fran calling in tonight. Fran, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm calling in.
Hi.
I studied to be a nun in St. Joseph's Order. And I seen how really bad it was, and God brought me out. And also, of course, the Baptist Christian, and like I said, my brother was in a Catholic missionaries, and he didn't agree with them, and they wouldn't let him go to Africa where he wanted to go, so he left, and he became a Lutheran. So I know the Catholic Church is totally wrong. I mean, it's totally, just bad, and they're going to lead the one world government. The Catholic Church is going to lead and the final thing, and he's Pope. I don't trust this Pope that's in now either, because he's a Jesuit, and they're very liberal, and they're very bad. So, like I said, I'm trying to bring my Catholic friends to the Lord, too.
And they're
very strong Catholic.
And praise God that you were able to come out from that. In fact, Brother Jim, your wife was going to study to be a nun, too, wasn't she?
She was. When I originally went to Samoa, it was because I was at a Jesuit university and wanted to join the seminary to become a Jesuit priest. And Father Patrick Earle was his name, and as well as my theology teacher, Dr. Gower. They said before I could join the seminary, I could go to Samoa or to Zambia for a one-year term of service, and then afterwards I could join the seminary. And I went to Samoa thinking I was only going there for a year. I met my wife the first day. I was there headed toward the priesthood, and she was living with the sisters at the convent and was going to join the convent at the end of that year. Well, I often say it this way, that the Lord saved me before he saved me, or saved me so that he could save me, so to speak. And Emmy and I decided, instead of going into the priesthood and the convent, we got married. We're a very devout Catholic family, had our children baptized as infants, and were very much involved in that when I was challenged to defend my former faith by getting in the Word of God. And instead of convincing my brother to stay in, the Lord brought us out.
And I still remember the first time you came to church. You know, you instead of going that day to your multi-million-dollar brand new cathedral, you came to our multi-dollar, somewhat...
I like to say it was a rundown rented second story room.
Behind a fish shop.
Yes, sir.
On the other side of the island. And God got a hold of you, and then later your wife. What a blessing. Fran, I know since you trusted Christ your Savior, you've seen family members come to Christ, haven't you?
Yes, they have. My husband got saved, and he went to heaven. He was very sick and So now he's in heaven. In other words, he died lost in the Catholic faith, you know. So I'm glad he got saved and he's with the Lord. It's strange because I called in for another reason, and I heard you had a guy on and a gentleman on there, and I said I got asked to ask that question about, you know, the convent. The whole life was terrible. The priests are in a lot of transcendental meditation. They're in a lot of different stuff they shouldn't be in nowadays, you know?
Yeah.
They're really wicked. We got to pray more of them come out, you know?
Well, praise the Lord, Fran, that you came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that Jim Savali here and his wife can identify with what you've gone through. And perhaps there's others out there. Let me give Brother Jim's website out. You've got a website that people can find out more and read your story.
Yes, they can. And the extended version of our testimony and coming out of the Catholic Church. That is jimsavali.edifyhub.com. That middle part is the word edify followed by the word hub, H-U-B. So that's jimsavali.edifyhub.com.
And I believe I have that link to that on our Facebook page right now. I believe it's there up right now, and I'll have to get that up. I've had it on in the past on our website at livewithpastoral.com. I've had it there in the past, and if it's not there right now, I'll have to get up there again.
I see.
But definitely it's on our Facebook page, Live with Pastor Al on Facebook, and you can find that. Fran, did you have anything else you wanted to say before I jump to our next caller?
Yeah, I called in for different reasons.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
I called in the reason about why, you know, the Jews, I mean, 6 million Jews are mentioned because of the Lord, you know, has promised to Abraham. But what happened to the Gentiles? You never hear that mentioned about the, you know, Jewish or Gentile people have been persecuted, and they died Catholic nuns.
Oh, you're talking about the Jews that were persecuted during World War II.
Yeah, usually
we think about it because the Gentiles being, you know, from diverse backgrounds, when you look at it, I believe you're familiar with Walter Stevens, missionary to the Gypsies, and the Roma people. They were persecuted extensively in Nazi Germany, and there were others. Gentiles is kind of a widespread group. The Jews were a group that was singled out, you know, primarily because of their ethnic background. And like I said, the Roma people, or what we call the Gypsies, probably would be the next biggest group that I can think of that was singled out. Of course, down in, where do I want to say, down in the Baltics, who am I thinking of? The Turks, the Armenians.
Right.
That were singled out as well. That's another group, the Armenian Holocaust that took place during the same time. But the Jews are kind of singled out there because they specifically are looked at because they were specifically singled out because of their nationality in particular. And, you know, there was this dehumanizing effort that was going on in Germany, saying, well, these are the people that killed the Savior, and so therefore they don't deserve to live, you know, type thing. And in reality, you and I killed the Savior. I mean, all of us did. We all had a part in that. But the big thing with the Jews that we should take away as Christians is we realize that the persecution of the Jews, the Holocaust that took place during World War II, was one of the things that was instrumental to the Jews wanting a national homeland. I mean, they talked about it, but the Holocaust really was a driving force into the founding of Jerusalem so that they would have their own country, never to have to be persecuted like that again.
Right.
So it was in part of God's plan, I think, in the one sense that, you know, they're still rejecting him, of course, even today as Messiah. But it's moved them in the right direction, getting them set up for end-time events. And so God used that in order to move the Jews into the land and to establish their own country. So hope that helps you out there tonight, Fran.
Well, I had one more question.
Yes.
What does God mean? God's no respecter of persons.
No respecter of persons. Doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. Doesn't matter whether you come from a good family or a bad family. God treats everybody individually. He's no respecter of persons in that sense.
In other words, in a way, he still respects the Gentiles equally.
Oh, yeah. A Gentile, a Jew, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether you're the daughter of a or son of a priest or a rabbi or a pastor or an atheist or an infidel or a bootlegger or, you know, the president. God treats everybody individually. Every one of us as an individual has to come to Christ and put our faith in Jesus Christ individually as our Lord and Savior. So, yeah, God's no respecter of persons. We're not going to impress him with our background or what we've accomplished. Every one of us has to come the same way by faith.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're quite welcome, Fran. Thanks for calling. And we've got Ronnie calling in tonight. And thanks for waiting, Ronnie. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I'll get straight to the point. I don't want to hold you up long because I know you're coming to a break. My question is, when we are saved, I know
yes, sir.
That the Spirit comes and indwells with us in our spirit of man, right?
I'm sorry. I missed part of that. You said when we're saved, we're indwelt?
With the Spirit of God.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Okay, my question is not that I'm trying to differentiate in it, but when I'm saved and the Spirit indwells with me. My question is, I know from Acts, the second chapter, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. My question is, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit if I'm already indwelled with the Spirit?
Well, yeah, and that's a good question because, see, in the book of Acts, Acts is a transition. Between, you know, the Gospels and the New Testament era in which we live in, because remember, the Gospels really properly were under the old covenant, and Jesus said that when he left, the Comforter would come, which was the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost would come, and so we had the giving of the Holy Spirit when Jesus told the disciples, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost," and then we had a couple occasions where the Spirit came upon the disciples there in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, and then he came upon, remember, the Gentiles there, Cornelius, when Peter went there, and the Spirit of God came on them. And then there's also, I believe, a case where there's a group of Samaritans where the Spirit came on them. And so we see in the book of Acts this transition moving into the New Testament covenant that we're under now. And so now, past that transition, when we trust Christ as our Savior, Paul writes that we receive the Holy Ghost. In fact, let me see if I can see this. Just thought of this in Romans chapter, I think it's chapter 6 or chapter 8. Let me take a quick look over here. But basically, he says, there it is, Romans chapter 8. He says in verse number 9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." And I won't take the time to turn over there, but in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible says we're sealed with the Holy Ghost. And so we receive him now at the time of salvation. He indwells us. And so we are immersed into the Spirit of God. He's in us. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, some denominations have tried to make this a separate thing. You get saved, and then at some point later, you receive the Holy Ghost. But Paul makes it very clear in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And then he says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." And he talks about our salvation and the fact that we have the Spirit of God in us. So, yeah, since the time of Pentecost and those early transition times when God was transitioning us into the new covenant time frame, now, yeah, we receive the Holy Ghost at the moment of salvation. He's in us. He sealed us until the day of redemption. He'll never leave us nor depart from us. The Bible describes him as the earnest. You know, if you ever buy something and you say, I want to buy this, and they say, well, put some money down on it. Uh-huh. They used to call that earnest money because that meant you earnestly meant that you were going to buy it because you'd put some money down, and if you didn't buy it, you'd lose that money. So you didn't want to lose the money, so you'd follow through on your decision to buy that. So. Right. Yeah, so does that help you out there, Ronnie?
Hey, man, it surely did. It really did, because I know I'm baptized in the Spirit when I'm saved.
Right, exactly. We become the temple of the Holy Ghost, Paul says in I think it's what, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He talks about us being the temple. Also in 2 Corinthians, he repeats that. We're the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit.
Right. Amen.
So, and the Spirit bears witness to our spirit we're his children, that we are his child of God. So that's exciting when you think about that.
Amen.
So, hey, thanks for a good call tonight, good question tonight.
Thank you so much. You just indwelled my confidence, or filled up my confidence, or edified my confidence.
Well, you know, the Bible says we're supposed to edify one another as Christians, as believers, and so hopefully we do that in a program.
I listen to you on records. I don't ever get to you on live late night, because I'd be dead asleep every night. But I do listen to you every Friday, and I try to catch you every Friday night.
Well, I appreciate you listening, and I appreciate the question about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and I appreciate you being up tonight, staying up to listen to us live.
Yeah, be blessed, Pastor, you and Brother Jim.
Thank you. And
thank you.
And God bless you, and you have a blessed Thanksgiving.
Thank you, sir. You too.
Thank you. Thank you. And I hope you'll call back again. All right. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We're going to go to a break here in just a little bit, just about a little under 30 seconds. And we've got Jim Savali, missionary to the Samoan Islands, with us. And when we come back from the break, we're going to get into what I think is an absolutely fantastic moving of the Holy Spirit of God, talking about the Holy Spirit in order to preserve his word in the Samoan language. And the Samoan word of God was about to disappear until God used some people to preserve it. Stay tuned. We got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and be with you until midnight tonight. And hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. You can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And just a reminder, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, and that's at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And, of course, we're brought to you tonight by the Bible Baptist Church. That's the church that I pastor, located right exactly midway between Akron and Cleveland, Ohio, northeast Ohio, right where Interstate 80, that's the Ohio Turnpike, and Interstate 77 cross. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, and that information will be given at the end of the program, 5171 Brecksville Road. Certainly invite you to visit us there. You go online, you can find out all that information at livewithpastoral.com. Also brought to you tonight by our friends at East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And even though you may not be in the area, and if you're in the area, certainly invite you and encourage you to go over and visit East Coast Pizza, or give them a call at 216-341-9100. But even if you're out of the area, even if you're in Florida and you want to start a pizza business of your own and you need a good recipe, give East Coast Pizza a call, 216-341-9100, and ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business, and it'll be a lot less than what you might think possible. It's not a franchise. It's his own recipe, his own dough, his own sauce. He'll help you get started. Be glad to do it. Just let him know you heard about us, or heard about him right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Well, we're going to get back to our program tonight. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. I'm joined in the studio tonight with Jim Savale, a missionary to the Samoan Islands. In the last half hour, he's sharing a little bit about how God worked in his life, brought him and his wife to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, kept him from being a Jesuit priest, kept his wife from being a nun, and now he's a Baptist pastor, and his wife's in Samoa, Faletua, a pastor's wife, and they're serving God, and God is blessing. And just wanted to mention something we're going to get into in a minute. We've got another caller calling into that we're going to get to in just a moment, but we're going to talk about something in this half hour that I think is just amazing. It's an answer to my prayer. At the time you got into this, you probably didn't know that I had prayed years before that God would rescue the Samoan Bible. Now, a lot of people listening to our program know that we take a stand on the King James Bible, and there's a variety of reasons for that. One of the reasons, of course, is the text that it comes from, which is a different text. It comes from the Textus Receptus, the received text, as opposed to the eclectic text, or the Alexandrian text that underlie the modern versions that most people see, such as the New International Version, New American Standard Version, English Standard Version, things like that. And we're not going to get into all the differences right now. That's for another program. But in the Samoan language, the original Samoan Bible, which was translated, and it's the whole reason the Samoan language is a written language today. It was the first missionaries going in there. He needed a written language to be able to give them a written word of God.
Yes.
And so they put together a phonetic language or alphabet for the Samoan language, which was purely oral at the time.
Right.
So for the first time in the 1800s, the Samoan language was written, and it became a written language, and the Word of God was translated into the Samoan language from that Textus Receptus, family of manuscripts, and right. God's word was put in the Psalm 1 language. Well, later on in the 1960s, somebody decided that that wasn't good enough. We need to go over to the Alexandrian text and give them sort of a Psalm 1 NIV, so to speak, and mm-hmm. and it's just simply not as good for a variety of reasons. Well, the Psalm 1, the old Psalm 1 Bible, based on the Textus Receptus, like our King James Bible is, was dying. It was dying. It wasn't being published or printed anymore, and the people who had the plates didn't want to let go of it. And, well, God intervened, didn't he?
He sure did.
Jim, you want to pick it up from there?
Well, I will just give a little bit of background. In our first church plant, that was all English-speaking, so we didn't really have an issue with needing Psalm 1 Bibles. But when the Lord called us to start a second church plant over on the most remote island, the island of Savaii, on the farthest side, and I got there, I had to do everything 100% in Psalm 1 because people did not speak English at all. And the Lord certainly blessed. We saw many people saved, baptized, and added. And within 6 months, we had over 100 people in the congregation. But there were only 6 Bibles. Now, 2 of them were Mormon Bibles with those additional books. 2 of them were Catholic Bibles with the additional books, the apocryphal books. 1 of them was the 1965, which is what we refer to as a corrupted translation. And there was only 1 1887 Bible, but it was missing the cover and part of the book of Genesis and part of the book of Revelation because it was falling apart. Now, that 1887 Bible was worked on from 1836 to 1837, 1836 to 1887. Those who study the manuscripts may be familiar with Westcott and Hort in 1881, which was based on the Alexandrian texts, but they never tainted the old Psalm 1 Bible. That fell out of print. It wasn't being printed anymore. And the other Bible was cost more than the people on our second church even made in a whole year because of how remote it is out there. Well, the Lord just burdened us. And from 2012 to 2014, we got the old text digitized. We got some people willing to print it and publish it for us. And we've been distributing it just last Tuesday, we loaded a container full of Psalm 1 Bibles, some hardcover and softcover. I'm so grateful to ministries like Beacon of Truth Baptist Ministries and Beams, who were a big part of that, and so many people who gave toward that project. And I tell you, putting the Word of God, the pure, preserved Word of God, into people's hands has been making a huge difference.
And, you know, when you think about that, one of the themes that we use at our church is faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
And if you do not have the word of God, you know, Amos talked about a famine in the land, a famine of the word of God. That's mm-hmm. what kind of famine he was talking about. And, you know, without being able to have the Bible, without being able to have the Word of God available for people to read and to study on their own.
Right.
You know, as Bible-believing Christians, we encourage people and we endeavor to read the Bible at home.
Right.
Not just use it as a book stand or, you know, to prop up other books on the bookshelf or or prop up the table that doesn't sit level and dust it off when we go to church. But we want to read it. We want our people to read it every day.
Yes, sir.
It's spiritual food. And if you go a week without eating food, you get weak.
Yes.
So what happens when you go a week without spiritual food? You get weak. We need people to be able to read the Word of God. And, you know, you endeavored in this project to rescue the Psalm 1 Bible, and you've done something that's never been done in history before. You made history with this.
Well, yes, sir, and there was a great team of people who helped. There is another missionary, a good friend of mine, Pastor Penuetta, and his wife Robin on the next island, who were greatly involved in the typesetting part of the project and proofreading, and there were many others who just got involved in that and helped, but I was just real blessed that the Lord laid that on my heart and allowed us to build a team to bring that project to fruition. My son once said to me, "Of all the things the Lord has done through you, Dad, I think this is the most important and far-reaching." And he may be right. Now, I've had the privilege to lead many to the Lord and see them baptized, added. We've trained some national men, one who will be ordained, and those are all wonderful things. But I have to say that Bible Project is just, I just thank the Lord and praise the Lord that he allowed me to be a part of that.
And, you know, it's so amazing because, like I said, to me that's an answer to prayer, because I had the opportunity to visit the island of Savai'i while you're there and have the tour going around the perimeter of the island. It's a big island.
Yes, sir.
And go through some of those villages, very small, living out in some of the most remote places on earth. And, it's like I say, nobody gets to Samoa by accident. It's so far out there, you have to work to get there. You can't just accidentally get there.
And I will tell you, Pastor Al, when you go village to village, house to house, and you bring those Bibles, the people receive them with such joy and with such hunger. Now, we give a hardcover Bible to any chief and any head of household, and then the softer cover Bibles, which are more economical to print in bulk, to the rest of the household. And of course, in those Bibles, there is a plan of salvation and some other help. And you do it house by house, and you go in and you visit, and you have an opportunity to present that plan of salvation and things like that. We have had some villages we go to, if we miss a house or something, people will run down the little dirt path to get to the road to make sure they get their Bible. And so it makes all the time and expense and energy well worth it to see people get the Word of God in their hands.
And, you know, some of our listeners may recall about a month or so ago, we were talking about a tremendous Bible project in Papua New Guinea, where Bibles are being printed and brought in at the request of the Papua New Guinea mm-hmm. government, and being distributed in all of the colleges, all the high schools and such throughout the country. And it just seems amazing to see God working. And one of the things, and I was going to add to it, I remember when you were doing this, you photocopied pages of that Bible that you had.
Yes.
Remember that? And you sent them out on the internet. And I remember my daughter and I doing a few pages.
Yes, that's right.
And basically we were typing them in, because what you accomplished, and this is a first in the history of the Samoan Bible, you digitized it.
Yes.
And as a result, you can have the Samoan Bible on your cell phone today. What are the two ones?
The Online Bible Program and eSword. And it is amazing, because almost everybody in Samoa has a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
Often they cannot afford to pay the money to have the credit to use it to make telephone calls. Sometimes we laugh because the young guys like to pretend they're talking on the phone to impress somebody that they have the money to get the credit. So we kind of laugh at that. You people are the same, the whole world around. But they all have a smartphone, and we could load that on for free, and they could have the Bible, and not only the Bible, but have the means to do word searches,
right,
and things like that. And of course, we have it on the computer program. And our Bible college, when our men started doing that, their preaching started to change. Now, in the beginning, it was funny, because every sermon they would say, oh, the Bible says this word 43 times in the Word of God and things like that, because they were fascinated with the ability to quickly find every mm-hmm. verse with a certain word. So it's actually opened up means to study the scriptures more deeply and things like that. And it's just making a big difference there in the islands.
Yeah, and, you know, we take it for granted, having these Bible study helps, where you can look up and see how many times, you know, a word appears in the Bible, or cross-reference it to other verses, or find a Greek word or a Hebrew word and see how it was translated in other parts of the Bible, or you know, all those things that we do with our Bible searches on our, we don't even think about it anymore. It used to be you had to get your concordance
right,
out, and you had to go through page after page, then you had to get your Bible encyclopedia out, and now it's all just a couple buttons away, and on your laptop, on your cell phone, your smartphone, and you can look this information up. But the Samoan people never had that, and now this is becoming available. Now, I don't know myself, but the newer Samoan Bible, has anybody ever done that with that?
I have not found it anywhere. I do not believe that that exists. As far as I know, this is the first time any Samoan Bible has been digitized and put into software programs with those kind of search tools. There are a few audio portions of scriptures like the New Testament, but they would not be from the stronger translation.
Right. And the reason I ask that is because it just seems to me that if somebody who speaks Samoan, and they're not just in the Samoan Islands. In fact, the majority of Samoan-speaking people in the world today actually live outside of the islands.
That is correct.
They are all over the world. Most people that are listening have probably seen Samoans. There's been football players. There have been wrestlers. There have been actors. I remember one time we saw some late night television show, you know, movie. It was like Land of the Lost or something. And it was a pretty cheesy B-grade, low-budget sort of film where they go to the lost world and they find dinosaurs and all. And there's people there, and they're the natives of this world, and they're dressed like Samoans. And I'm thinking, boy, they look like Samoans. And to make them sound exotic, they actually cast some Samoans that were in the California area, and they were speaking Samoan. My wife and I could understand bits of what they were saying.
Isn't that something?
It was kind of funny, but you know, for the average moviegoer, you know, or person watching that on television, they didn't know what that was.
Right.
It just sounded exotic. But what I'm getting at is by having the Bible, the Samoan Bible, digitized, and somebody who's in Alaska or in Germany or in Australia that is a Samoan speaker, and that's, you know, people talk about the languages that people know. There's the heart language. You know,
right.
You might know English, but your heart language is Samoan because that's the language you grew up with. That's the language that resonates, that you really get the deeper meaning from. And so somebody who's a Samoan speaker is going to go online because they're going to be exposed to Bibles online and things like that, and they're going to say, I wonder if I can find a Samoan Bible. Did anybody ever do this? And what Bible are they going to find?
Right.
God has preserved his word just like he said he would.
Yes. And the great thing about them on the software is anyone can get those for free. Online Bible, you could download the King James Version and the Samoan Version. We made sure that thing is available for free. The same thing with eSword. If anyone downloads those programs, they can get the Samoan Version of the scriptures right on their phone or their computer or whatever device they're using.
And the exciting thing, like you said, how your preaching students, their preaching's improved.
Yes.
And it makes sense because they're now able to get into the Word of God and study it on their own and take it home with them and search and find related passages and do some of the things that, as English speakers, we've taken for granted.
And the great thing is that where we are, it's so remote. These men had never had a computer. I mean, I had to start from this is how you plug it in, this is how you charge it, this is how you turn it on, and go step by step. And now they're able to use the computers to type up sermons and to go onto the Bible program and do searches and all those kind of things. And on this container with all the Bibles that we sent, I also have sent 30 new computers to upgrade our labs. So the Lord is certainly doing good things through this technology. Used for the Lord's glory can be of great use.
Absolutely. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, joined with missionary Jim Savale, missionary to the Samoan Islands, and we're talking about some of the great things that God is doing in the Samoan Islands and with the Samoan Bible. And if you want to give us a call tonight, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'd love to hear from you tonight. And Jim, if people are listening and they say, this is fantastic, I'd like to have a part in this. Is there something that they can do? Maybe somebody wants to have a part in getting these Bibles to the Samoan people?
Well, it would just be great, number one, if people would pray that these Bibles, as they go, just pray that the Lord would use them, get them into people's hands. If anyone would like to give to the Samoan Bible Project, they can do that by going to our website, www.jimsavalle.edifyhub.com, and I believe you have that link there. Mm-hmm. And that would just be great. $2.50 will put a soft cover Bible into someone's hands, and $8 will put a hard cover Bible into someone's hands.
And you know, that Bible, when it's in somebody's hands, it's not just going to be one person that uses, is it?
No, sir.
It's going to be shared. It's going to be passed around in the family. And one thing I remember from my time in Samoa, there's a respect there for God's word. You know, people here are familiar with the Gideons. The Gideons have been giving out Bibles for years and years, decades. And we almost become, well, yeah, there's another Bible, and we throw it on the shelf. But in Samoa, what happens when you give them that Bible?
Well, when they get that Bible, that is such a prized possession to them. They get very excited about it. One of the things I love is seeing in our own village, even though people are in different churches, I see just about everyone in the village walking with one of, quote-unquote, our Bibles, and that thrills my soul to see that.
Oh, what an answer to prayer, like I said. I mean, just I've been following this online, seeing what you're doing, and, you know, just thinking of how God is blessing. And, you know, 30 days out from getting on the airplane to go to New Zealand, God changed my wife and I to Samoa. And I think back at that time that I was sitting there, we had a lot of stuff that was really putting a lot of pressure on us at the time, and God gave me that opportunity to leave Samoa and go to New Zealand. And he said, but if you stay, it'll be harder, but the rewards will be greater. And I look at this and I think, wow, I'm glad I stayed.
Amen.
It was harder. Believe me, it was harder. There were times where I was ready to get on that airplane. It was kind of funny. It seemed like there for a while, every time we visited the airport, I'd run into somebody that, you know, for the next couple of weeks afterwards saying, oh, I thought you left. Somebody said they saw it at the airport and you left. But God kept us there. We were there 4 years. I believe it was 4 years. And we left, and God changed our plans when we got back. I became the pastor of our home church, our sending church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and we're still involved in different things. Small church, trying to keep things going, and doing the radio program and reaching out. But it still takes a lot of people who are willing to go out into these far reaches of the world. People think, well, most of the world's been civilized now, right? But we got just a couple of minutes left on the program. Would you want to describe the village that you live in? You've touched on a couple of things. What does it look like?
We live in a village. It's called the Village of Asau. In our village, we'd have about 2,000 people in the whole village. We'd probably only have about maybe 10 to 12 vehicles in the village. Many of our people would live in simple open houses that's just posts and these woven blinds that lower down. Often there'd just be one pipe that would be shared, one pipe of water that would be shared by four or five different houses, different parts of an extended family. No, we do not have hot water. Many people sleep on mats, and they may have mosquito nets. Very simple kind of living conditions out there. People eat off of the land. They fish from the sea. Very few stores, and they're very small. It's a third world country. We do not have abject poverty. We do not have homeless or orphans. Extended family take care of the family, and they are able to eat off the land. The land produces abundantly. But it's a very simple lifestyle out there.
I think I remember at one time hearing that the UN said it is one of the most undeveloped nations in the world, meaning a lot of resources that are waiting to be developed. But I think the greatest thing is the spiritual resources being developed with the
Amen.
Rescue of the Samoan Bible, and the fact that God is raising up a generation of Samoans that have a real burden to reach their people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what it takes. You and me might be able to instigate something, but until it takes a hold in the hearts and lives of the
yes.
people there, it's not going to be successful. We want to thank you, Jim Savali, for being on the radio with us tonight. I encourage our listeners to continue to pray for you and the work that's going on in Samoa and the Samoan Bible. We're out of time. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. God bless. Join us next time.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.